study. Tonight we're doing another study on another cult, and we've gone from the big ones to the small ones, the obscure and the weird ones. Tonight we're looking at a group of cults that all comes under the same umbrella. Let me just ask a quick show of hands. How many here have ever heard of the identity movement? No hands. If I were to ask, how many of y'all have heard of British Israelitism? No. Okay, let's give them some other terms. How many of y'all have ever heard of the Ku Klux Klan, the American Nazi Party, or white supremacy? Everybody heard of that, yeah. Same umbrella, same bunch. Same bunch of nutcases, someone would say. But they're weird, and these all have certain things in common. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Most people have said, yeah, I've heard of them, but they said, well, who are they anyway? What do they believe? Why are they like that? Well, politically, they are not just right-wing or far-right. They are way on the other side of the John Birch Society and others. They are way out there. Someone has said that this bunch is as far to the left on the other side of what we normally call right-wing as the Communist Party is far out to the other side of the liberals. Something to be said for that. They lurk around the right wing, like on the outer fringes of the John Birch Society, Southern Patriot groups, gun clubs, mercenaries. And also, they tend to proliferate in prisons. Some of the prisoners that have written to me have said that, oh yeah, they know about some of these groups. One of them said, well, in the prison I am, it's so dangerous. Almost everybody belongs to some gang, just to protect yourself. It says if you're black, you're in a black gang. If you're white, you're in some white supremacy group. And if you're Hispanic, you're in a brown group, some gang. And so a lot of this stuff grows behind prison walls. Also, it's growing on the internet. Now, they have similar views with other weird, extreme right-wing political groups, but we're talking about ones that have a religious ideology. So we're not going to confuse it with tax revolt groups. Y'all ever heard of the Posse Comitatus? Good. Survivalists, vigilantes, or the Soldier of Fortune, or people like that, those usually are not very religious, but the groups tonight are. Identity movement. Some call it the Kingdom Identity Movement. And basically it's this. They say, we have identified the true Israelites, to whom all God's promises belong, and the true Israelites, lo and behold, is the white race, particularly the Anglo-Saxons. In other words, those that have Germanic, British, and American blood and white skin. Some of them emphasize the British-American connection, other ones it's the Germanic aspect. Here in America, they're very small groups, but they tend to see that, well, yes, God has a promised land, and it's not the land of Israel, it's in the northwest up in Idaho. And that's where a lot of the groups are centered. And other ones say, no, the true promised land is back in Germany. Now, there's a wide variety of other kooky views that these groups hold. So I'm not going to concentrate on what one group holds or another one, but on what they have in common. But let me just mention some of these, just in passing. A number of them keep Saturday as the Sabbath. Some of them stress the sacred name, Jehovah, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Some of them are Pentecostal. Some of them don't believe in hell. Some are vegetarian, or they accept the Old Testament dietary laws, like you can't eat pork. Quite a few of them have the idea that human beings can become gods, like the Mormons teach. In fact, a number of these are former Mormons. Some of them teach you have to be baptized to be saved. Also, most of them believe in pyramidology, that God inspired the pyramids and that there are secrets hidden in there that God tells us about prophecy. Hogwash and nonsense, but a lot of them go in for that. They go in for numerology and unusual mystical meanings in the numbers. They go in for Christian astrology, the idea that the gospel is written in the stars and in the constellation. Some of them even accept not the flat earth theory, but the hollow earth theory, that the earth is hollow on the inside, and that there's a race of people living there, and that they come out through flying saucers through the North and South Poles. And that's what some of these people, I told you it's weird. Yeah. Some of them believe in only the King James only. Some of them accept the Apocrypha. Some of them use only the translation by Farrar Fenton, which is a very weird one. But those are just a lot of the ones that, you know, not everybody that believes the identity message believes in these, but these sort of weird things kind of are sprinkled all around this movement. How big is it? Since so many of their groups are somewhat underground and they don't have churches with steeples on, it's hard to estimate, but some research estimates that perhaps as many as 30,000 people. So we're not talking about something as big as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Nevertheless, they can be dangerous. Some of their members have a proclivity toward violence and terrorism. All you have to do is say Oklahoma City, 1993, or things like that. What was that guy up here? What was it, Peoria, Matthew, somebody, another? Matthew Hale. That's kind of under the same umbrella tonight. Okay, briefly, let's talk about some of their doctrines and the main ones. The main thing that holds them together is this identity message. Now, it's been called various things like Anglo-Israelism. In other words, the English and American white people are the true Israelites. Some call it the destiny of America. Now, if that's as far as it went, it's not that bad, because even some evangelicals have held that. But it's what it leads to, like white supremacy and racism and stuff like that. So what is this British Israel theory? Well, some of the moderates that hold this, that still believe in other Orthodox doctrines, will say, well, salvation is possible to people other than the racial Israelites, which are white, but they have to align themselves with the true Israel. Other ones in the movement usually say, nope, if you're not white, there's no hope for you. If you're not a white Anglo-Saxon member of the identity movement, sorry, you know, it's hopeless for you. Where did they come up with this idea? It's the old idea of the lost tribes of Israel. You remember that in the 6th century B.C., the Jews went into captivity in Babylon, and then after 100 or more years, God let them come back, but some stayed back there. So the theory is that not all the Jews came back, but only the members of the tribe of Judah. What happened to the other lost tribes of Asher and Naphtali and Dan and the others? They say, well, they just scattered. And this group says, well, they kind of wandered over to Europe, and that's where the Europeans basically came from. And listen to some of their reasoning. They say we can even identify some of them by the names of the nations, like the tribe of Dan. They say, well, that's Britain, bad etymology, or that's the city of London. Oh, come on, give me a break. But that's how they reason like that. And then they do other things with Germany and France. So they basically say the people of Europe with white skin are really the true Jews. And then they particularly point to Britain and say, well, Jeremiah went to Britain and brought with him that stone that way back in the Old Testament that Jacob slept on and used for a pillow, and then now this was brought to Britain, and there actually is a stone, the stone of Scone, that's underneath the royal throne. And they say that is the stone that's mentioned in the Old Testament. That proves that the monarchy of Great Britain is in the pure line of the monarchy of David and Solomon and so forth. No, but they're really guessing at that. Then they get mixed up with Joseph of Arimathea coming over here after the resurrection. Some say Paul came and preached the gospel in Britain, and Mary did the same thing. And some said even in the 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus went to Great Britain and preached and started churches. You don't get any of that from the Bible, but they get this from their rather strange beliefs. But what it boils down to is that they say God's covenants were made only with the true Jews that are racially descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they say, we have identified them. It's the white Europeans, particularly out of Germany and Great Britain. And so they say, lo and behold, that's us. Some of them try to identify individual tribes, like Dan and the other ones, but other ones say, no, they've been dispersed. It's a little hard to identify individual ones, although some say, well, the Greeks, they came from this tribe, and the Romans from that, and so forth. Now, since they claim to be the only true racial Jews, what do they make of the others today that say, no, no, we're Jews? What do they think of the Jews? Well, at root, the members of this movement are emotionally and extremely anti-Semitic. They really hate Jews. They may dislike blacks, but they really hate Jews. For example, they're strongly against the state of Israel and any United States support of Israel and anything like that. And they can have some pretty hardcore hate literature against the Jews. Because you said, well, wait, the Jews, it's the so-called Jews. Okay, the so-called Jews, they're white. How do they identify them? They said, well, they may have white skin, but they're imposters. They're not true Jews. And you say, well, how do you identify? Well, what are they and who are they? Well, there are various theories, but perhaps the most common explanation is that this movement believes in a form of evolution. By the way, so did Adolf Hitler, and they basically accept his view. And it's this, that through the evolutionary process, it's like a factory. If you've ever worked at a factory, let's say making, you know, some little product, there's always going to be some product that's defective. You know, the machine wasn't working right or something. So you look at that and you throw it away, and they say, well, that's what the Jews are. The Jews are factory rejects of the process of evolution. They may have white skin, but they are not the same as other white people. And so that's why they say they're dangerous. And they're very intelligent, but they're very dangerous, and there's no hope for them. You say, well, what about the other races, blacks and Chinese? Well, they also have this unusual view of evolution, and they'll say, well, the Aryans, the white Germanic British people, are the only descendants of Adam and Eve. And here I'm going to be very careful in how I repeat their theory, but they say, the white man is the only one really descended from Adam and Eve. We're the true Jews. What about the blacks and the others? They said, well, they're descended from Eve and Satan. That Eve and Satan had sex and produced a different race that is half human and half devil, the black people. By the way, the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan's view, they hold the same view in reverse. White men are blue-eyed devils descended from demons on another planet. So these people deserve each other. That's racism of different kinds. Anyway, they say these other races, some say the Jews are descended from Satan and Eve, but they usually say the blacks are. And so they have a weird view. For example, here's what one of their groups says. It's in a statement of beliefs of Aryan nations. Quote, we believe that there are literal children of Satan in the world today. These children are the descendants of Cain, who was a result of Eve's original sin, her physical seduction by Satan. The Jew is like a destroying virus that attacks our racial body to destroy our Aryan culture and the purity of our race. And so they say that phony race of Jews, that is the Antichrist. And so it has to be opposed at all costs. You say, well, what about Jesus? The Bible says he was a Jew. And they say, not that kind of a Jew. He was an Aryan. Some say that Mary conceived Jesus after a liaison with an officer in the Roman Empire that, lo and behold, came from Germany. Some of the Nazis were saying the same thing. In essence, they were saying Jesus was a German, not a Jew. And, of course, that would negate the idea of the virgin birth. So I told you it's weird and strange, but the racist view is coming out. Well, another thing they hold about the so-called Jews today is that they say that the Jews are in control of things and we need to take the control back. They'll talk about ZOG, Z-O-G, Zionist Occupation Government. The Jews control America and the United Nations. And they say that communism is all run by the Jews. And they circulate a notorious old book called, I wonder if you all have ever heard of this, The Protocols of the Meetings of the Learned Elders of Zion. Anybody ever heard of that? The book is still being circulated. Adolf Hitler had it translated and multiplied and published, you know, millions of copies. And this group still believes in that. It's the idea of an international Zionist conspiracy, Zionist meaning Jewish, that is controlling not only big business, communism, the United Nations, the American government. President Bush is simply a puppet in their hands. And that all this is being run by a secret Jewish conspiracy by people that are not really even true Jews. But it's an anti-Christian, you know, descendants of the devil. Pretty strange. Pretty dangerous. Consequently, it's not surprising when you read their literature, if you can stomach it, almost everybody in this movement denies that the Holocaust ever happened. You have never reasoned with someone until you try reasoning with these people. You say, what about all the survivors? They're all lying. What about the Nazis that confessed they were bribed or they weren't Nazis? What about the gas chambers? Those were ovens for cooking bread. What about Zyklon B? Rat poison to kill the rats, not the Jews. It goes on and on and on like that. You say, what about Auschwitz? They say, well, that's just a prisoner of war camp. What about those that liberated them and found thousands of dead bodies? Oh, they're lying. Well, what about the Jews that survived? They said, they're lying. You can never believe anything a Jew says. So that's how they reason. And so they say, after all, they're all lying. So they say Hitler did not kill 6 million Jews. But if you press them far enough in some of their literature, there's little hints every now and then where they give away what they really believe. Some of them have said, well, the Holocaust really did happen. It should have happened, but it didn't go far enough. So then to go from being Holocaust deniers to Holocaust defenders. Who are some of these groups? Now remember that there are varieties of these. Not all of them will support the Holocaust. So let's start with the moderate ones and work up. Probably the most moderate is called Destiny Publishers, based in Massachusetts. And they've been around over 100 years. And they still publish some literature. Back in Great Britain, the leading one is the British Israel World Federation. I once visited their headquarters. It's located about 100 yards from Buckingham Palace, which is convenient for them because they say the Queen of England is descended from King David and is the rightful heir to the throne. And right there, just around the corner from Buckingham Palace. Another group, which we won't look at tonight, we'll look at next week in our last study as we throw a lot of miscellaneous groups together, is the Worldwide Church of God. Anybody remember Herbert Armstrong, The Plain Truth? That cult is really splintered, but basically it holds to this view of British Israelism. Then there's Lord's Covenant Church, based in Phoenix, Arizona, formerly pastored by Sheldon Emery, who used to be broadcast all over the country on the radio on something called America's Promise. And that was one of the most well-known proponents of British Israelism. And then you get down to more extreme groups. The New Christian Crusade Church, based in New Orleans, where I'm from. And it's branched off in sub-branches. These groups have a way of dividing and multiplying like rabbits. Interesting thing about this New Christian Crusade Church is that it was affiliated with a notorious fellow named David Duke. Anybody ever heard of David Duke? I remember him in New Orleans when I was in high school because he went to the same high school. 1 year above, and he was carrying Mein Kampf to class with him. And then he went to LSU, and then I went to LSU, and he joined the American Nazi Party. He was walking around in brown shirts and Sieg Heil on campus and had college football players as bodyguards. And David Duke is still around. Well, he became a Louisiana state congressman, and the Republicans refused to recognize him. And then he ran for governor of Louisiana, and believe it or not, and got quite a few votes. And then he ran for the United States Senate. And you say, oh, he's not going to get anywhere. Got 44% of the votes in Louisiana. 44% of the votes. He almost became a United States Senator. He got convicted a couple years ago on mail fraud and stuff like that, and embezzlement from his cults. But he's still around, and we haven't heard the last of David Duke. David Duke was also involved in one of the many branches of the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, the Ku Kluxers are still clucking, but they're not nearly as big as they were after the Civil War in the 1920s. Today, there are perhaps 10,000 people in the various branches. There are at least 25 factions of the Ku Klux Klan, mostly down south. I needn't go into this, but the Ku Klux Klan is more known for its racism, but they do have some religious views. At all their meetings, there will be an open Bible, and they are usually members of identity churches, or sometimes extreme fundamentalist Baptist churches or Mormons. Some of the more violent ones are underground, but they're not nearly as violent as they used to be. I still remember, you know, church bombings and stuff like that, but they don't do much of the violence anymore. It's a movement that's definitely on the wane. Unlike most of those in the identity movement, those in the Ku Klux Klan are more obsessed with hatred of blacks than of Jews. Whereas most of the other ones, they dislike blacks, but they really hate Jews. Well, it's more a matter of which one do they hate the most. Many in the Ku Klux Klan also believe that idea that blacks are descended from Satan and Eve, and they have strange views. I remember one guy came up to me in Dallas and asked me about this. He said, "I don't believe this stuff, but I heard one guy on the radio saying that Jesus warned about black people." "Where?" "Well," he says, "you know, the black sheep." "Sheep? Yeah, sheep have curly hair. Blacks have curly hair." "That's it." I said, "That's nonsense." And he says, "Really?" I said, "You don't know your Bible well, do you?" But that's the kind of logic these people use. Then there's another group based up in Idaho, the Church of Jesus Christ Christian, Aryan Nation. Aryan means white Germanic people. This movement has pretty much waned since its founder died, Richard Butler. But there are various groups up in Idaho that are still carrying on this idea. Now, here's where the movement gets less religious and it begins to show what it's really leading to, the extremes. It's kind of like now they're rolling up their sleeves and taking off the kid gloves. For example, there's a group called the Institute for Historical Research. And I'm sure all of y'all have heard of them, based in Southern California. And they publish the Journal of Historical Review. Some have said it ought to be called the Journal of Hysterical Review, because every article is trying to revise history and basically say the Holocaust never happened. There's a Jewish conspiracy, for example. They say, well, Roosevelt was a Jew. F.D. Rosenfeld. And so he changed his name, and on it goes like that. Some of y'all may remember a group called Liberty Lobby. They published a little magazine, The Spotlight. I'm not sure if it's still around. And some, when you get into this, now they begin to explicitly say what they believe. For example, one of their groups, Angriff Press, reprinted Mein Kampf. The views of this group basically comes down to one short sentence. Hitler was right. And they said, no, you've all misunderstood him. And that leads us to another branch of this movement, the American Nazi Party. Now, there's not one party. There's various factions that were... all gets back to a fellow named George Lincoln Rockwell up in Chicago and Virginia, and he got assassinated by one of his followers, and they've branched off, but this group is still around. Not very many of them, obviously, and it's usually people that are highly antisocial and racist and so forth. And that leads us to the very dregs of this whole movement. Once you've see, well, where is this leading to? From British Israelitism to the racism against the blacks and the Jews, and then funny views about who Jesus was, and now you're getting into denying the Holocaust, defending the Nazis. Where does it go from there? Well, it usually ends up at one last stage if they go this whole route. Not everybody does. There's still moderates, but this is the direction it's leading in this identity thing. Not only was Hitler right, what did Hitler really believe? What was his religion? And there have been serious scholars that have studied it and said, well, Hitler wasn't simply a former Roman Catholic. He certainly wasn't a Christian of any stripe. But Hitler and the leading Nazis had a certain view of the occult, that the Nazis were a chosen race and that they're semi-gods. And it was the old Nordic religion of the old Huns back, you know, before the time of Christ, the pagans that worshipped Jove and Thor and Woden and ones like that, the worship of the Vikings. And they said, well, that's what Hitler and that group believed in. They said, well, we want to go back to before the Christians came into Germany and ruined it. We're going to rediscover the old idea of Conan the Barbarian and bring back the barbarian idea that violence makes right, and we worship these pagan gods. That's really what was at the heart of Nazism. And this movement sometimes leads into that. And so there are little giveaways like the idea of the pyramids and the swastika and so forth. But again, not everybody goes to that extreme. If you know someone that says, well, I believe in British Israelism, doesn't necessarily mean that he's gone all these other stages. But this is the tendency and the direction it's moving. A couple of last comments. Some people that hang around in this, they're kind of playing Nazi, like children that play cowboys and Indians, only some of these use real guns. Don't think that for them it's all just make-believe. Some of them actually believe some of this weird stuff, and they want to try to live consistently with it. When you look at the opposite end of the spectrum, and look at the extreme liberals and communists, and Marxists and people like that, you'd ask them to sum up their view of the world and religion, they'd say, it's all a matter of class, economic class. This view says it's all a matter of race. Not class, but race. White or whatever. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says it's not a matter of either one. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you boil down the essence of the identity movement, it comes down to really one thing, religious racism. Racism against the blacks, racism against the Jews, and other ones, and pride and what they are. And that's why they come up with other views to justify their own pride. They also will say a lot about God's law to God's chosen people, but they break that law. Remember the law? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And they say, well, your neighbors, that's fellow white people. Jesus also said, love your enemies. So if these are your enemies, you're supposed to love them too, something they can't bring themselves to do. Their view negates itself, but it obviously repeatedly contradicts the Bible, so we cannot in any way say it's a form of Orthodox Christianity. It is very dangerous, and it's well to be warned. What's the identity of this movement? The true identity is hate. Let me close with one last quotation from a preacher I frequently listen to on the radio, a black preacher named Tony Evans. And I heard him say, brethren, it's not a matter of race, but grace. Amen. He says, it's not a matter of black blood or white blood, but the blood of Christ. And I, for one, say amen to my brother in Christ, Tony Evans. Okay, that's our summary of this weird and sometimes dangerous cult. I hope you never have contact with people like this, but just in case you do, now you know to be warned, and I can give you a handout that'll give quotes from them that you can keep on file if you ever need to refute them. Well, I'll take a couple of questions from y'all. If anybody has any questions.
Hmm.
Yeah. But somewhat pathological.
Yeah.
So you can't reason with them in the way you can with certain other people. A few people have been converted out of this movement. Like Mormons. Yeah. Anyway, it's well to be warned about some of these groups. Not that I think anybody here is going to be lured into it, but we need to know how to refute them. And as we said in our opening study on the cults, We have to use the same method with every cult. We have to know, well, what do you say? Sum it up for me. And take a few basic points and say, now, let's compare that with the Bible, to the law and to the testimony, the Bible says. And we say, okay, you say this. Nope, that's not what the Bible says. Next point. No, this is what the Bible says. You're wrong on that. And they might be right on a few things, but if they're wrong on some basic things that are important, we have to say, sorry, you failed the test. You need to be saved. You're believing a false gospel. We can do that with this group of groups called the Identity Movement. Anything else? Well, in this series, we're looking at pseudo-Christian cults, ones that claim to be Christians. Masons don't claim to be Christians. But you don't have to go very far into the Masons to find out they hardly claim to be Christian. They claim to be Christian as much as they do the Baha'i or other groups do. Whereas the ones we've covered basically say, no, we're Christians, we're the true Christians. I would put them in the category of the occult rather than cult. I'd put them in a group like the Satanists or the astrologers and people like that, rather than pseudo-Christian. None of them are Christian, but it's a matter of what they claim to be. Any last comments, questions? You know, I find it always distasteful to waste our time on Sunday looking at these weird groups, but we need to be warned. I'd rather just preach verse by verse through the Bible, but we need to be aware of some of the errors. We don't have to know everything about all these groups. Some people get obsessed trying to expose the cults, and they read book after book after book, and they end up knowing more about these cults than they do about the Bible. We don't have to know everything, just a few basic things. You don't need to know any more than I shared with you tonight about where they're right, where they're wrong. Well, we'll leave it there for tonight. Next week, we'll conclude our series with just a few miscellaneous groups, because there's only a few small groups left, and we'll all just throw them in one last study. Well, let's pray. Father, we are saddened to see people that claim the name of Christ distort your word so extremely, and with their hatred and their white supremacy and these other things. We pray that you would confuse them and scatter them and halt their internet services and what they're saying in prisons and in these so-called churches. We pray for people we know that might be susceptible to this sort of garbage. And we pray that you would protect them and that you would give us wisdom to refute this sort of dangerous heresy if it should ever cross our paths. But Lord, as we've looked at all these cults and how they perverted the truth, on the one hand, we're angry. And we ask that you would rise up and protect the truth. On the other hand, we're humbly grateful that you have saved us and that you have given us the truth. And we have brothers and sisters in many different kinds of churches and different races and backgrounds. And you have brought us all to believe in the same Lord Jesus. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Gary, how about one last song to close with?
Hymn 123 in our blue books here. We'll close with that. Again, this is a song we did a couple weeks ago for Sunday morning worship service. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Hymn number 123. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, Thou art welcome in this place. Father in heaven, what a good time today to come and to sing your praises, to have communion with you today, and to hear the message and to hear the preaching of the word. We thank you for that we are free to have this freedom, and that we can come and worship you without fear of being persecuted. And we just thank you, Father, for the freedom we do have here in America. We think of Saeed, and we think of the problems that he has to go through, and how easy it is for us, and how often we take our worship for granted. But, Father, it is just a joy to be here and to study your word. I pray for us to a safe return next week, and I pray that you'll protect us as we travel on our way home tonight. Keep us safe and in your arms. I pray for those that are not here, Father, and the sick of our church and those who need you as Savior, especially who come here every Sunday and hear the word being preached but still do not know you as Savior. I pray for them, and I pray for the lost. I pray for the saved that are here too, that you'll protect us and keep us safe, and that we will never fall into any of these cults, fall prey to them. And Father, I especially pray that if we're confronted by any of these cults, that we will have the courage to stand up for you and the knowledge to stand up for you and to never compromise your word. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
My name is